Welcome to Starfield Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or if you want to, you can also join us on the Talkshoe website at talkshoe.com. Also, search for call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe online. That's on call, sorry. Or you can actually join us. The chat room is over on Twitch. That's actually a better place to go if you want to chat with people. Go to twitch.tv/SFU on call and you will be able to join us there. You'll see my lovely face and hear us and also chat with many, many people in the chat room. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on Twitter, it's also sfuoncall. You want to follow my personal account, that's Paul Franz, PAULFRANZ. Just a warning, I am an O's fan. Very adamant Catholic, and also, I love tech. So if any of those things bother you, don't follow me. Now, if you want to also follow the tertiary account, my Franz Games account, you can follow me there, and you'll see what's going on with Starfleet Warlord, Supply Line, Fed, come online, you know? Also, of course, the lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. The only news from this week is actually Steve Petrick. He went to the hospital just because of he was not acting himself, and come to find out, basically he wasn't paying. He was not taking care of himself. He wasn't eating. He was supposed to. You know, he wasn't basically doing what he was supposed to be doing. So he felt weak, dehydrated. You know, you really need to keep up with that stuff, or you will have issues, especially when you're still recovering. So, Mr. Petrick, shame on you. Pay attention. You'll take care of yourself, because I don't have to come down there. And going on to SFB Online Tournament, the Starfire Star 11 tournament is completed with Madman, that's Danon Madsen, and the Orion being the winner. Congrats to Dana. And moving on to when it comes to the library, not much library progress this week. It's been very quiet. No corrections, no additions, no nothing. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, so the one alone, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's just me. I'll double check that, but I'm sure I just saw David. It's just me and anyone else who joins us in the chat room. Yeah, Barry's off tonight, and I have not seen Gary for a while, so I'm assuming he's busy doing something else. That is perfectly fine. And next week, we will have Doug Howard will be back next week to talk about probably a little bit of Games of Winter, and hopefully we can talk about Days of Origins Past next week. So keep an eye out and ear out for that, and I'm sure you will find the next episode quite enjoyable. This week, actually, it was inspired by some tweets. I'm going back and forth with, I don't remember the guy's name. That's not good. But it's on Twitter. We're going back and forth because he says I said something, and it's possible that I did because I've been doing this for a long time. So, given that I've been doing it for a long time, the one thing he said I said is the whole idea of creating an SFB Online empire. Now, just to let you guys know, if we were to do this, and obviously I have to do some of the work. I need some help from the community because I need help from the community to create the ships. I can create the background material, not as much background material as much as the support for the weapon systems and other systems that are part of this empire. Now, he said, I said this, okay, fine. Now, the idea behind it is that, okay, SFB Online provides truly unique opportunities. That is, there are certain things that could be done that normally you can't do in a board game. And that's because of there is no person, well, there can be, but it's a rare thing, that you can have a third person which has certain information that can be held on to and not shared. Certain secret information. And obviously, Starfleet Battles has always been part of playing it was there are secrets. For example, when you start the game, the first thing you do is you do an energy allocation. Energy allocation, what you plan in that energy allocation is completely secret because that tells, if someone would know your EA in SFB Online, you know, SFB, they would know your plan, at least have a pretty good idea, given speed and power allocation and all that kind of thing. They can come up with a plan. They have a good idea of where your plan would be. So, sorry, I was distracted by Dave. You're talking about, I would consider a Trigulum Galaxy Empire. I was in the early Captain's Log about the core regions, Pixen Galaxy, and one other, which is, I don't even know the Pixen Galaxy. And Dave, if you could tell me what Captain's Log that is, that would be fantastic. That'd be a great help, and maybe I'll look at that. But the whole idea of this episode is, if we were to do such a thing, what are the things that would make it special? Now, here's the one thing that if this is one of those things that, okay, the individual I was tweeting with, he has some good ideas. Oh man, he has some good ideas. Even had some nice aspects that would make it kind of cool, but I thought about them, and I'm just going from my own experience, and that would be a bad thing. For example, the idea that maybe a few weapon systems or so forth could be hidden from the other player. So the person playing it would not know what kind of weapon systems there was. Or, does it launch a missile? Does it launch plasma? Is it a direct fire weapon? What kind of weapon is it? And that would not be known until things, well, either got broke or you've discovered them. Because I'm just going to me, here's always the issue with a weapon system, but it's not really a weapon system that's the issue. The issue is the idea of not knowing. I personally experienced truly first contact. That is, I bring my ship, which I know the capabilities of my ship, but I'm playing against a ship that I know how fast it goes, I know the energy it has, and these are weapon systems which I do not know. I think it was one of those LMC race empires. That's what it was. Okay. Thank you, Dave. I'll take a look-see. And what happened is I got my butt kicked because it's a first encounter, a first contact scenario where you don't know anything about the capabilities of the ship. You know nothing about the capabilities of the weapons until he actually fires or does something. So it's okay. From a purely realistic standpoint, it's great. You know, it's a really unique opportunity to play a scenario which you never ever get to play. You can try to pretend if you have the SMB rule book, you know, and the person says, I'm gonna play a ship, and you gotta fight against me. Always the hard part about that is that you can look at the SSD box and know what kind of ship it is. You can know the capabilities. Now, you can try not to know the capabilities, but it's hard not to. You know, it's like a D&D monster manual. You know, as the GM might describe the monster to you, if you've read that monster manual and you've kind of almost memorized the monsters and their capabilities and what they can do, it's no longer a random encounter. Yeah, it's random, but you know the capabilities of this monster without actually ever fighting against this monster before, which to me was always a difficulty that my GM, Dan Williams, he would find. Now, one time it was, he did basically a Harry Potter kind of thing where we actually played a chess game. Not a full chess game, but he took, excuse me, I forgot to do something. I forgot to put on Do Not Disturb. I apologize if you heard the ding. But yeah. So he would have to come up with these very unique monsters. Now, this reminds me of talking to some other people who play D&D. And you have these GM that has these monster characters that the party has come up with, and invariably the GM has to come up with these really unique monsters that basically are so hard that even the most, you know, the most advanced characters with those advanced weapons and items and so forth can't it's impossible for them to defeat it, because if I recall correctly, the one guy, basically, he had a time-traveling spider. And what would happen is the time-traveling spider to attack would go back in time and bite the character. And then come back. So it was nearly impossible to defeat it. You know? Which I can just imagine trying to playing the time-traveling spider and that was all hell. Now, so the idea would be, okay, what kind of weapon system, what kind of systems do we want this empire to be normal? Because as I'm sure anyone can attest, that when it comes to Starfleet battles and Omega and LMC, mainly LMC in my mind, but, you know, Omega to a certain degree, and that is, you can't go too far out there. If you go too far out there, people don't want to play against that empire, or in the case of LMC or Omega, could play those types of ships. So, you know, and that's why it's like, what do we want to go with the standard approach? Obviously, there's certain things that are going to be standard approach. That is the use of hull, the use of weapons and other standard systems, labs, control, simple things as control boxes. I want to bet that most people would agree that they would want to use the standard phasers that are available in the Alpha Octant, because I think that's what most, that's the phasers that most people are familiar with. Obviously, when it comes to that, for the phasers, I think that was one of the downfalls of Omega, which made it not as popular as it could be, which was not just the heavy weapon systems, but the phasers. There were so many different kinds of phasers. And I like the idea. Now, as I mentioned multiple times on this show, that personally, I think one of the things that went wrong is the number of phasers in Omega. And I think more to the point that the Omega weapons weren't integrated into the Master Starship, Master Rulebook. And the reason why I say it that way is that in theory you didn't have to, but I feel like you had to have pages which you could insert into the Master Rulebook. It didn't have to be included in the Master Rulebook, but it could be inserted because of you have the issue, which is always the thing that bugs me about the Omega rules. And that is, they have many times, this is just like any other phaser in the Alpha Octant, basically. I don't say this explicitly. But they say that, but here's the tweaks that occur. So it's all the same, but it's not. So they tried to have it that way, instead of doing it that way, if they could have it as kind of a phasers inserts, direct fire weapon inserts, I think it would work out better. The idea is that keep on constantly say, this phaser is like this phaser, but here's the differences. So I think that was a big thing. So I'd say starting off with standard systems, okay, standard hull, standard control spaces, standard phasers, standard power systems, batteries, warp engines, APR, AWR, and impulse. Now, AWR and APR, it depends completely on the weapon system that we add on to the ship, as well, or systems. Because that's another question, is do we have a special system like the Vudar has? The Vudar has the IPG system, the ion pulse generator system, which is unique, and it's an actual different kind of system. In this case, the IPG can do multiple functions, including generating EW to protecting the ship against seeking weapons, things like that. So, what we want to see. I think when it comes to overall movement, same standard movement, let's not go with the flivers that had kind of a skip warp? Was it skip warp? No, I think it's skip warp. Floating warp or something like that. That is, the flivers could actually kind of slide, side slip, or even slip backwards. It was kind of an interesting system, but Hover Warp. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Dave pointed out it's called Hover Warp. Yeah, that was kind of interesting as a unique empire, but because it also is training. These are training empires, which can do certain things that normally you can't. That can't happen in quote unquote the real world. So I'd say you'll stick with standard war, standard movement. You know, of course, I think if Barry was here, he would definitely recommend sticking with the alpha. The alpha way of doing things when it comes to the movement. So, you know, you have, yeah. Nicosians never skip board. I read about the Nicosians. I forget what skip board does. Don't tell me. It's fine. But where was I? Crap. Oh, yeah, that was it. Movement. Movement should be, which probably, I think Barry would agree, is standard alpha movement, as in it can go the standard amount of power is enough so that it can actually go speed 30 or 31 without a special refit. Now, given that, the one thing that I was thinking about that I would like to have as a unique system, and I'm debating on it, on exactly how powerful this would be, and that is regenerative hull. Now the question is, for me, will we still have shields, or will we go with the I'm thinking about it, I think it's the Juggernaut that had didn't have shields, but the its armor, it had armor which would regenerate, which I think it's a cool feature. So I like the idea of regenerative hull, as in it's an internal system that regrows, regenerates, because of the great thing about, it's called electrostatic armor. Okay. I like the idea of a plain hull being regenerative, because that's one of the things that this person came up with, you know, the guy on Twitter. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I like the idea because what happens is that even if all your hull goes away, it can be regenerated. And therefore, it can protect. It doesn't, basically, it kind of adds, gives you additional damage, you know. But more importantly, it can protect by regenerating other systems. It can protect the batteries. It can protect impulse engines. It could protect APRs. It can protect these other systems that if you use a standard DAC, that you'll be hitting hull. You have to hit hull first before you actually can make it before you can actually get to that more juicy system, you know, whether it's weapons or batteries or power generating systems. So I think that's a neat idea. Now, I know. I'm sorry, Dave's talking about the Juggernaut. Doesn't have armor in the rear. Now that's another question. You know, do we want the ship to have shielding, or go with a more unconventional approach? And I'm thinking about an unconventional approach that is to create a ship that instead of having a shield, it has armor. And do we want to have regenerative armor? I'd say yes, but basically make it like powered shields. Meaning to powered repair on shields. Yeah, to fix the armor, you need to pay cost. But since it's armor, it doesn't cost any power. You don't have to power shields. So you have to pay for life support, you have to pay for fire control, but you don't have to pay the 2 points of power for minimum shielding and full shielding, basically. So I think that's a good approach. Because it's unique, and it's, in my mind, it's interesting. So, now, one thing that this person was trying to point out is that doing an empire where basically the computer would be required. That's either it's tracking things that are untractable or very hard to track, or have abilities that the only computer only can use a computer to do. For example, as I pointed out, the whole idea of basically it's kind of almost like tack and tell, where you don't know what weapon systems that are currently on the ship. Now, to be honest, that might not be a bad thing, which is, actually, I would not be too, would I be really adverse to that? Maybe. Maybe not. Because the one thing I was thinking of is, I don't think that'd be a bad thing to hide the kind of weapon. And I just said that, I think that's very frustrating. And I agree, it's very frustrating. But here's the thing. I'd say, but the thing is, after you fire that weapon, what kind of weapon it is, whether you launch it or use it via direct fire, if that's possible, because if it's a drone rack, then obviously there is no way of doing that. And that is to hide what kind of weapon it is. I think it's a neat idea for a certain number of weapon systems that you can have on a ship. So all the weapon systems are hidden. Just like almost like Orion or Barbarians, they have weapon mounts, and then on those weapon mounts, you actually would, since they're limited, they're limited to maybe, let's say, 5 or 6 weapon mounts, and what's actually in that weapon mount would be hidden until you fire or launch or whatever, use that weapon, in which case it's automatically revealed, and you move on. So that is good and bad. I think it's interesting, but obviously it can run into issues. Because the reason why I didn't want to do something like that, just, as I said, it can be very frustrating. Because if you don't, the whole first encounter thing, it gets very frustrating because you don't know what to expect. And we're not, it's not something we do every day. Now, obviously, when it comes to SLP Online, that's one thing that we could possibly do more of, which is the idea that each ship, or even each empire, when you meet up, you don't know what the capabilities are of those ships. And that's something that could be done using SLP Online and revealing these things when needed. But that's also why I'm thinking of one thing also he mentioned, which was that, okay, let me get up. phone. There's also okay. It's another. I'll get. There's another one here, but I'll keep that. A ship system that involves hidden information from one of all players, maybe a shield or other defensive system that will break at some point, but nobody knows, or a plasma type weapon that has a secret hidden range or strength determined when fired or kept hidden. Think something like that. A nation that couldn't exist on the tabletop, but actually. Not nation, it'd be empire, but you know, it couldn't exist on the tabletop, but could exist online. But I think a lot of stuff you could do online. The only time you can't do something online usually means that you require a third party for arbitration purposes. That's the only time I've ever known that you can do something as online, but you can't do something in person. Otherwise, you can do everything in person as you can do online. So I think it's a neat idea. Apologize. But I really think that have it so that the weapon is revealed as soon as you fire it, I think that'd be best. So, and now the question is, I understand that can be very frustrating for someone who doesn't know what they're encountering. And I'm not thinking about tournament play, because tournament play, you know, depends upon how you run it. If you run it like an Orion versus a Wynn, you know, Orion would be kind of cool because you could switch things around. While, you know, when it's fixed, so that hidden feature could never be used. But also, I like the idea of, okay, it's not known, but as soon as you fire, you have to tell what kind of weapon it is. So it's not always hidden, it's always unknown, which I think was the frustrating part of First Contact. Sorry, I was helping my kitten. He had problems getting up to... He wants to get up to the window over there. So, I want to help him out a little bit. But anyhow, maybe one of these days I'll show you the kitten. So, now, are there any other weapons, any other systems... As you mentioned, a secret defensive system, you know, that would only be known when, you know, at some later point. And I really don't think so. I think I like the idea of just the regenerative hull and possibly powered repair on some armor. You know. The only difference in this case about armor versus shields is that you wouldn't have to pay for the armor. I mean, the armor would armor doesn't need to get powered to protect you. So, but it pretty much acts like a shield, though, because it's armor, you could not reinforce it. So that'd be the big difference there. Okay, what kind of, do we just go with alpha, you know, weapon systems and have it so basically it's like an Orion or a Barbarian where the person playing that ship can decide what is the weapon systems they have, at least outside of phasers. Or, you know, because I think the ship should have standard alpha phasers start off with. Also, one thing we'd have to agree on, which is overall design of the ship. Do we want, and what kind of empire would this be? what kind of race would be flying these ships. I want to get this right. You know, because like the Paravians were bird-like. You got Gorns, which were lizards. You know, what kind of race would actually be flying the ship? Would it be possibly, you know, something along the lines of Drex, but maybe not as smart? You know, i.e. an automaton. Now, okay, I'll go down that road just for a little bit longer, then I'm going to pull back. And that is, you know, the idea being that the race would define how the actual ship for that empire looks. Does it look like a flying a flying bird? Does it look like just a box? Does it have, is it more like the Deltas, you know, with that one wing? You know, things like that. You know, what does the ship, you know, the outline of the ship look like? Because I think that defines a lot about the actual empire. Because we already said that a lot of stuff would be the same. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of kind of electrostatic armor, though I'm not sure if you call it electrostatic armor. So, well, yeah, okay. Back up. Which was, there is the possibility. Now, this could be done with the SFB Online Empire. And that is, make it an empire which only can be played by the computer. I think that would be a neat idea. Now, if we were to do such a thing, one, it had to be automated. Okay, so it'd be an automated player. The actual scenarios would have to be limited, but at the same time, the ship itself would have to be limited, i.e. simple. Okay, let's just go back to what that would mean. What that would mean is that, okay, see, that's one of those things that the armor plays into, which is simplifying the turn, simplifying the running of the ship. Because if you have armor instead of shields, you don't have... Sorry, Kitty distracted me. If you have armor versus shields, then you don't have to worry about reinforcing. You just have to worry about running around the board and beating up on the poor guy who decided to enter the ring against you. And that's, you know, and that's fine. But also that means, in my mind anyway, that you would want the weapon systems, you know, outside of the phasers, because the phasers are already this way. And that's you'd have to have it so that the weapon systems are simplified. Nothing fancy smancy, you know. Possibly even, you know, I'm not sure whether we'd want to include, actually, strange as it might sound, remove tractor beams, you know, because now probably might leave them in there and just never use them initially, because of, it's one of those things that, okay, when do you use a tractor beam as an offensive weapon versus a defensive weapon? You have to figure that out. But, you know, so, but that means, okay, when it comes to phasers, yeah, you can do it. But then all your heavier weapons would have to be single, at the very longest, is single turn arming. So you couldn't have plasma type weapons that require multiple turns. Could you do something along the lines of the quantum wave torpedo? Yeah. Just let you guys, a reminder to those of you who don't know what the quantum wave torpedo, that means you've been asleep at the wheel and you haven't been listening to the podcast. Quantum wave torpedoes are the weapon of the Paravians. Now the Paravians, let's go back and say the QWT, quantum wave torpedo, requires 2 points of energy for two turns. If we could have it so, okay, we want a seeking weapon, want to have so we don't have to track our ammo at all. One last thing to track, simplify things. So have it so that you can actually have a plasma type weapon that would be single turn army. Which you could do. In my mind, you could do. Now the question is, how much strength would you allow that to occur? Okay. You know, that's if we want to use plasma type weapon, because of currently it takes 2 points of power for two turns to create, I think it's a 20 point torpedo, basically. That's what QWTs are. Which is not bad. Do we want to have it so that if you want a single turn arming a torpedo? Well, what you could probably do is have it so that it's single turn arming weapon, a plasma. Now, you can either pay 4 points of power for a plasma F. Apologies. Or you can have it so that you only pay 2 points of energy. And you have basically what's called a K, you know, a K plasma, which is a 10-point plasma. So, and the question is, it wouldn't be, that wouldn't be a question, because I'm thinking about, would it be a question of, for something like that, would you be able to decide what kind, what you're launching at the time of firing or launching. And I was thinking about that, and that's kind of pointless, because unless you want to do something along the Saltorian particle cannons, where the particle cannons actually, you could hold the energy and then use it as a capacitor. Now, would that be a neat idea? Yes. But again, we're trying to simplify things down to what we want. This is what we want. And we don't want to have to complicate things, because the less we have to track, the better off we are. Because obviously, if you're launching something that, tracking is kind of obvious, that it's just based on that you can't avoid it if you allow seeking weapons. Now, obviously, the simplified one, it would be like something like a disruptor, where single turn army weapon, you either fire or you don't fire. You can fire using reserve power, and that's it. Boom, done. Which I was thinking about the same thing for a plasma type weapon, but 20 points versus 10 points. So you kind of have an overloaded plasma weapon. Which, overall, I like that idea. And the question is, but at the same time, that would mean, okay, let's back up for a moment. If we want an this is where we have the demarcation line here, I think. That is, either we have a empire, which can be played by actual players, but requires SOP online, or we can have a empire, which is computer based, that runs within SOP online, And therefore, you want to simplify. You don't want to have to worry about hiding the what kind of weapons and things like that. And you just are simplifying down to the easiest way of something that can easily be computer controlled. And I think if we were, you know, that's the divergent things, which is, you know, do you want it to be computer based? I think that'd be kind of cool. Definitely, it would simplify things, and creating an empire that other people would play, I think, would be more difficult. But I think if we had an empire that was simplified down, that people could play against, not play as, but play against, and actually like play SFB Online, at least a trimmed down version of SFB Online, I think that would work nicely. Possibly even use like a robot player, you know, that's in FedCom. So, at the moment, I said I kind of like the whole idea of a quantum wave torpedo kind of thing, which is basically a plasma torpedo that can be launched every single turn, but it costs 4 points of energy to launch a 20-point torpedo in one turn. But so that's kind of an overload disruptor cost. So for a non-overloaded disruptor cost, you can have a 10-point torpedo. And you can also fire it, you know, once every turn. I like that idea because I like the variability there. And also I would allow for an upgrade. So if you charged for a 10-point, that's two, and you can use 2 points of reserve power to boost it up to a 20-point torpedo. So, you know, I kind of like that idea. And, standard power systems. Any other special weapon systems? Would we need any more protection? Debating. Because I would like to have like an ad rack. Not 12, but like a 24 round ad rack. That, you know, that you could fire, you know, so you can fire at drones or fighters or shuttles. I like that idea. Anything else? Do we want to have any kind of system that's not defensive or offensive based, that's special? I might have to, that's one I think I might have to put on the back burner, at least the thought processes on that. I might want to think about that some more. Because I like the idea. I just don't, at the same time, I'm thinking about it and I don't want to complicate things. Because if we're going to go with the computer-based empire, then I want to simplify it as much as possible. Obviously, we could simplify like the phasers and have them so it's always, you know, a phaser R or something. R, you know, the pirates. you can do that. Or, you know, you can implement for the different phasers and so forth. But you could have it so that, you know, you always, there's no capacitor. Which in my mind would simplify things greatly, because then you don't have to track how much is in the phaser capacitor. In which case, you don't have to, again, one last thing that needs to be tracked. So let's say we go with that, you know, this special phaser. I'm not sure how much it would damage. Phaser 1G. Definitely wouldn't be a phaser 5. Yeah, phaser 5. I say, you know, don't do like an X-ship phaser where you can overload or anything like that. But I like the idea of getting rid of the phaser capacitors. And then with the phaser capacitors, I mean, then if you want to fire, you have to either pre-allocate the weapon system. You have to pre-allocate the weapon system. Or you can use reserve power to fire it. Now, obviously, this would be a disadvantage to compared to other ships. But here's the one thing. Given that, you can actually increase the amount of power to the ship, and that doesn't mean anything. Because of using armor and no shields, therefore you don't have the right reinforcement, you can add additional power to the ship, and it doesn't do squat. The only thing it does for the ship is it keeps it moving. It allows it to move at a certain rate and able to actually fire its weapons at the same time. So I kind of like that idea of kind of neutered phasers. Any other? I can't think of any other system that I want to have special, but I think, because at the same time, I don't want to go too overboard with the number of new systems that are for this empire. Because then we run down the road that no one wants going to want to play it, or not play against it. I'll think about that. Maybe I'll bring it up next week. I promise I'll make it up at the beginning of the podcast next week. That is the idea of maybe some other system. Whether it's a movement system, I don't plan on doing any crazy movement system. But other systems that can do certain things. I can't imagine anything at the moment without it being a weapon or a defensive thing. Could be something as special as give it the ability to lab drones or lab seeking weapons at a range, a distance, without them, you know, without it being a special sensor, or could be kind of a hardened special sensor. But because it's hardened, it doesn't have the range, but it can detect, like it can identify a drone or a shuttle or whatever. And when you usually do an ID roll, that it can actually lab at a better range. And I kind of like that idea myself. Obviously, I think I'm going to end it at this point. But the one thing I want to let you know, that if you want to send me your suggestions, and that's sfuoncall@gmail.com. I prefer email, just because of, if you can send me email about it, I can collect them in one spot. And therefore, I don't have to try to grab a Twitter post, grab something from Facebook, grab something from email. I was going to say text, but I don't think anyone knows my phone number. And that's a good thing. So I think I'll end it with that. I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.